Well, hey everyone, Merry Christmas. Hey. If we haven't yet said hi, glad you guys are here. My name is Brent, one of the pastors here. It's always an honor to be able to fill in for Pastor David. I mean, Grandpa Pastor David. We've grown by another one this last week. And so if you haven't been on Facebook, you're missing out because he is posting regularly and often with many grandkids. Good things are happening in the life of our church. Speaking of good things, I wanted to make sure you guys all had these in your bulletin. This is your way to invite your friends, your family, your neighbors to be a part of Cross City next week. And we have four identical services. We're adding a 4 o'clock Saturday evening service. And we just, I'm thinking about that Bible verse that says, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring the good news. And my hope would be that as a result of being here today or even watching online, that you are going to leave here with a sense of hope, a sense of just purpose and intentionality, that you're going to leave and you're going to invite someone to be your guest and change eternity in their lives. And hope you do that with these cards right here. Hey, what we're going to do today is we're going to be continuing our Christmas series because really it's Christmas and it's the most wonderful time of the year. How many of you guys would agree you absolutely love Christmas? Say, yep, that's me, all right. There's a lot of us. And really the reason why we love Christmas, it's all about Christ. If you were to literally take a look at the word Christmas, it's a Christ mass. It's worshiping Christ this Christmas. And there's a couple things that are going to get in the way of that. Pastor David mentioned a couple weeks ago, busyness is going to get in the way of that. And I want to remind all of us that there's a difference between busyness and holiness. They're not the same thing. It seems to me like our culture has set us at odds with staying present, staying focused this Christmas season. It seems to me like we add during a 30-day period all of these things that we don't do during the normal pacings of the year. For example, we get everybody in our family a haircut, clothing that matches. We get a photographer, snap a photo, put it on a card. We write a letter. We mortgage our house to be able to afford the postage, to send a letter to people we've maybe met one time in our life, right? We add that on top of the fact that many of us are trying to get that perfect gift for the person that we love. There's no way to say that I love you by being intentional and giving them that gift. No pressure, guys, right? We feel the pressure. The struggle's real, right? And then for some of you gals, you're flipping through Pinterest. You're having mommy guilt. And so you want to bake something you haven't baked in a year. And so you turn on the oven and you realize that that your dirty dishes from Thanksgiving are in the oven, right? You know, and so you about catch the house on fire. And then just to add insult to injury, your kids are then in your house away from school on vacation for 2 to 3 weeks, and you turn into a part-time cruise ship director, right? That's what Christmas is all about, and if you're not careful, it's really hard to see Jesus in the midst of all the craziness of Christmas. And so our goal would be that as a result of gathering here today, that we'll be more focused on the Christ of the Bible, that we'll be able to see our Savior. And I can't think of a better way of doing that than opening up our scriptures and taking a look at how these magi, these wise men, saw Christ. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2. Maybe you have your apps open as well. I've had a lot of people today saying they're loving following along with the app. And we're just going to look, what does God say? How did this all go down? So Matthew chapter 2, ready? Here we go. So after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea at the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem. And they asked the question, where's the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw the star when it rose, and let's say this all out loud together, everyone, and we have what, everyone? Come to worship him. See, the story of Christmas is all about the worship of Christ. Right out of the get-go, we know that that's what Christmas is all about. It's about worshiping, honoring Christ as the child of God. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. It's kind of like if mama's not happy, no one's happy, right? King Herod wasn't happy. He felt threatened, so everyone else was put on alert that there could be a competing king in the ranks. And so when he had called together the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. And of course, they all knew the story. It says in Bethlehem in Judea, for it is written by the prophets as well. So what happens is that Herod surrounded himself with Jewish people that knew the laws. He himself wasn't Jewish, but they knew that this is what the prophet would say. And to you, Bethlehem, the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And so it says that Herod called these magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, and so I too might, what, everyone, go and what? Worship him. Even though his intentions were impure, that he viewed this king as a threat, it was all about the worship of Jesus. Christmas has always been Christmas, worshiping Christ. And Herod was hoping to be able to deceive these magi into becoming his advocates. Goes on to say in verse 9, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Important little Greek note here. The New Testament was written in Greek. There's several words for children and babies. So by this word child, we know that Jesus wasn't a baby. And I know for many of us, it ruins the picture that we've had seared into our minds of the nativity scene where you see baby Jesus, you see Mary and Joseph, you see an angel, you see three wise men, and you even see lambs smiling in the picture, right? It's a great picture, great photo op, completely unbiblical, right? Because by this time, Jesus was a child. Some time has passed. When they saw the star, they were what, everyone? Say it. Overjoyed. We're going to unpack that in just a second. On coming to the house, so they weren't in a barn, right? They're in a home at this point. They saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and what, church? Worshiped him, because Christmas is all about Christ. I love happy holidays. I'm into season's greetings, but let's keep Jesus in Christmas. Amen. It's all about worshiping Christ. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So what we want to do is we want to dig deeper into Scripture, and we want to see some ways that we can keep the Savior, our sights on him, our focus on him this Christmas. And so if you have a pen, if you would, tree died so you can have notes. So if you would write this down or go onto your app, that we need to take intentional steps towards the Savior. See, a lot of times we think that this is just by osmosis just going to land on us and that we're going to have the best Christmas ever. I've heard it said that nothing becomes dynamic in our life until it becomes specific in our life. And so for us to have a dynamic Christmas, we need to become very intentional. Some of us think that Jesus is going to just magically appear at our front door, knock on the door, invite himself in, bring a birthday cake, and said, hey, let's celebrate my birthday. What do y'all say? But it doesn't work that way. We have to invite Christ into our lives because our culture is pushing him out. Let's take a look at what the Magi do. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, it says, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. Now that word Magi, we're probably familiar with king or wise men. And we know that they're very smart. They were educated in a variety of different disciplines, whether it was math or history or agriculture. We know science. They saw a star, so probably some form of astronomy, and definitely religion. And though they themselves were probably not kings, they were the power behind the power of their time. And they had read the ancient texts, so they knew that a king was being born, and they were coming to validate that for themselves. And we know that they've gone on a long journey. We don't know if it was months or maybe years, but we know some time has passed and great expense has been paid on this trip. But most importantly, and this is what I want you guys to catch, they were very intentional. They went on a journey to see Jesus, and they found the Christ child. You see, a big obstacle for a lot of us is that we're going to become passive. And we know what it means to become passive physically. It's called being a lazy couch potato. You know what I'm talking about? And some of you guys have earned a couple of weeks off to be a lazy couch potato. But we don't want to become a lazy spiritual couch potato. We don't want to become so comfortable with the story that we become unintentional with seeing the Savior. This is what I know to be true, church, is where we look, we will go. What we see, we will become. Just think about when you're driving down the road and you look to your left, and where do you start driving, everyone? To the left, you know? And you know, like when you're not texting in the car and it drops out of your hand and you go to look to find your phone that you're not texting on, where do you go? You go to where you dropped your phone. And for us, where our eyes go, what we look at is where we will end up. So a couple of ideas that I have for us before we go into the second point is how can we become intentional this Christmas? One of them starts right here in God's Word, that we would spend time intentionally and specifically this Christmas reading the story of Christmas besides Sunday at 11 o'clock, that we would introduce it into our family times and we would read it and we would allow it to inform this Christmas so that we think through the lens of the Bible. And the second one's going to be for the New Year's resolutions that you'll make on January 1st and break on February 1st. On those, I want to challenge some of you to make some spiritual New Year's resolutions. And one of them I talked about last week is this ministry we have called Rooted. And it is actually a discipleship experience where hundreds and hundreds of you, Cross City folk, have gone through, and it allows us to fulfill our mission. And that is to make more and better disciples. If you are serious about growing in Christ spiritually next year, I'd encourage you to intentionally consider signing up today for the few spots that we have left. Over 75 of you signed up last week to be a part of Rooted. We only have a few spots left. We have one more story that we wanted to share with you, and then we'll go on to our next point. So if you would, go and share this Rooted story.
Steve came to RJ, told him about Rooted, encouraged him to go ahead and get plugged in, and definitely glad that we did. It had a great impact, an impact I was not really expecting. I would say during that time in our life, there's just things going on. Life got very stressful, very tense. I could feel the tension in our marriage. So being able to do Rooted together, it just really allowed us to put God back into the focus of our lives. And it's drawn us closer together, drawn us closer to God, and drawn us closer to the people that we are going through Rooted with.
I've been here about 6 years now. We've had a lot of different men's studies, a lot of different women's studies, and we were always working independently. And this was really the first opportunity going through a full study together. And I think that's one of the things that we're missing, because I got to know a lot more about how she thought and what she thought as we were going through the process. And just like she said, it brought us back to centering our marriage on God. That's kind of where everything started for us.
So guys, some cool things are happening through Rooted. I want to remind you, it's not a couples group. It's for everybody, singles, married, multi-generational. It's a way for you to intentionally grow as disciples next year. The next opportunity to sign up is going to be for after Easter. And so I just wanted to, as the discipleship pastor at our church, I just wanted to personally encourage you to consider making that possibly your next step in your growing relationship with Jesus this week. You can do that on your app, or you can go talk to Pastor Mike, who's going to be in the lobby after the service. Number two, if you're taking notes, how can we focus in on the Savior this Christmas? Is that we're just going to anticipate that we're going to come into contact with him. Now, I know for those of you that have kids or grandkids, you know that on Christmas Day, they're coming into the living room anticipating they're going to tear open the present this Christmas. You guys agree with me on that? And as a parent or a grandparent, we know, regardless of how you feel about the whole gift-giving thing, there's nothing seriously more enjoyable about Christmas morning than seeing them with anticipation look at that wrapping paper and just tearing it open. They've been thinking about doing that for days, weeks, months, maybe even a year, that they've been waiting for that to happen. You know, for us, I think we, the older we get, we need to continue to have that same childlike sense of anticipation and expectation for Christmas. You know, for me, I'm kind of a big kid. A lot of you, that's not a surprise for you to hear. But I grew up, and my mom was great about having these traditions. One of them was an Advent calendar. It looks a little bit like this. The ones I grew up with, they had a Bible verse behind the number, and it was the numbers of the days before Christmas. During December, we'd open them up, and you'd read the Bible verse. But then a couple years ago, somebody with a lot of love for God and others decided to add chocolate to these as well. And so behind each one of these numbers, there is chocolate. Most of them are missing now because I've eaten them every morning. When I've looked with anticipation and expectation for that day, I've been able to read a Bible verse, and I've been able to focus my attention while savoring the morsel of chocolate of the coming of the Christ child. And guys, what I'm saying is that word Advent literally means expectation. It means anticipation. And we know that there were seasons, there were hundreds of years of silence that God did not speak through prophets before Christ came, and then he arrived, and people were waiting for it and excited about it. Let's look at these magi. In chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have moved west towards him to worship him." We know that these magi came to Israel to see the king of the Jews. They came with expectation to see Jesus. The question that I have for us is do we come on a regular basis to church with the expectation to worship Christ? I mean, do we? Do we come into the house of God to hear from him and to experience him? I know that if I do, oftentimes come with that anticipation, I hear from God. But I also personally know the opposite, that if I come late and one of y'all park in my spot, I'm not happy with you, right? And then when I go over to the frat house to get a drink and there's 10 of you in front of me, I'm not happy about that as well. And it's harder to hear from God and experience him when I'm frustrated and I'm busied. So I guess what I'm trying to say is what can we do this Christmas to make sure that we're staying focused on Christ? You know, I was looking at this story, and there's actually three major players in this story. One of them, obviously, are the Magi. And we know that they saw Christ. They came expecting to see the Christ child. I mean, they overshot the runway a little bit. They went to Jerusalem. They should have gone to Bethlehem. But they saw him. The other person in the story is Herod, and he absolutely didn't want to see the Christ child. He resisted it, so he didn't see Christ. But the one that I think, if we're not careful, many of us could become would be the religious leaders who were indifferent to the story. I'm not sure why it was, if they became too busy or they were too familiar or whatever, but we know is that they lost sight of the Savior. I mean, they knew the story, they knew the traditions, they knew where it would be, but they became indifferent towards Christ. Jesus in the New Testament gives a pretty strong rebuke to his followers who become lukewarm in their faith. Guys, I think it'd be very, very, very easy for us to slip into indifference if we don't have a childlike expectation this Christmas. I want to challenge all of us, and I know it seems a little bit weird and possibly a little bit childlike, but would you join me this Christmas in seeing Christ here? By the way, this is his world. He's created us in his image, and this is the most wonderful time of the year. I encourage you tonight when you're heading home and you see the lights on the houses in your neighborhood that you'd be reminded when you see the Christmas lights that Jesus was the light of the world. When you go home and you see the star on top of your tree that you would look at that and you'd say there was a star that Magi followed that was over the Christ child and that you'd be reminded of the fact that this really happened and Emmanuel, God with us, really happened. Be intentional about it. Anticipate it. Number three, if you're taking notes, be joyful. Experience the joy of Christmas this season. Guys, I need you to know something. Joy is a choice. We choose whether or not we're going to be joyful. You're just not going to just one day accidentally bump into being a joyful person. You have to pursue and choose joy regardless of the circumstances. Look at the Magi here in your text, Matthew chapter 2, skipping down to verse 10. When they saw the star, they were what, church? Overjoyed. Now, that's an easy word for us to say, but in the original Greek, the literal translation was this, is that they rejoiced greatly with exceeding joy. What it means is that they chose to be joyful, that they moved beyond a thought into action. It was more than just, I'm thinking about it, but I'm going to act on this. Beyond ideas, moving towards deeds. Even in the midst of some questions, even in the midst of some concerns, they remained joyful, and I think we should as well. And I realized that I'm challenging some of you to be joyful in a really junky season of your life. And I know for you, the thought of being joyful right now because of what you've experienced this year is hard. For some of you, you've experienced tremendous personal loss. And this Christmas is going to be one full of some hurt, some broken dreams and promises. You might find yourself discouraged and maybe even depressed. I just want you to know from the bottom of my heart, I am so sorry for the year you've had. And as I look to God's word, I'm reminded of what his word says, that God is close to the brokenhearted. He is with you. because he is Emmanuel, even and especially during the hard times. Reminded of a passage in the New Testament in James, where James is talking about that we are to consider it pure joy when we face trials of many kind. You know, I'm reminded of James. James was the half-brother of Jesus. I mean, they had the same mom, two different dads. Jesus was the perfect, God the Father. And for James, it was Joseph. It was his father. I mean, by the way, side note, could you imagine having Jesus as your perfect older brother? You know what I mean? I know some of your older brothers kind of have a Messiah complex. Jesus was literally the Messiah, right? He never did wrong. And what James experienced personally was his perfect brother being murdered before his eyes. He and his family experienced loss. But James goes on to say, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Consider it pure joy. Guys, in the midst of really hard times, I want to challenge us to remain joyful, to choose joy. Don't just think joyful thoughts, but act on the joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength, especially during hard times. Guys, if you're struggling with joy, I want to give you a prescription as your spiritual advisor. Tonight, 5 o'clock in this room, joy will abound at Jingle Jam. You're going to see a bunch of kids on the stage knowing most of their lines, for the most part moving in the right direction, and they're going to have the joy of Jesus all over their faces. My daughter Paige is going to sing a song too, so make sure you clap really loud. But I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be a wonderful evening tonight in the joy of the Christmas season. You might want to pick that up, it's ringing. All right, so number two, if you would, write this down. Humble ourselves. Humbly worship the Christ child. This is one of those moments where we have sometimes wondered when we've seen it. You've got these grown men and they're bowing before a baby. What is that all about? Guys, there's a lesson here that I don't want us to miss. We go to our text in verse 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down, and what, everyone? They worshiped him. Christmas is all about the worship of Christ. And the gravity of this moment, these wise men, they realized that they were in the presence of royalty. And if you were in the presence of royalty, out of respect, you would bow your head. But more than that, they realized that they were in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they worshiped the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. What they were doing in that moment is they were worshiping. That word worship has Old English Latin meanings to it, which means worth and ship. And it literally means whatever we ascribe value to the most is what we worship. And I know for some of us, the idea of worship we've grown up with, we're comfortable with. But for maybe many of you, you want to worship, but if you're being honest, it's kind of a foreign concept. You don't know how to do it without being weird. Can I just be like super transparent with you? If you've ever wanted to worship and you've not known how to, if you'll look at your notes, I've given you a couple ways you can do it. By being intentional, by focusing in on Jesus, expecting that you'll hear from him, choosing to be joyful in the midst of challenging situations and circumstances. And then this point right here, humbly choosing to worship him. You know, when we humbly choose to worship, in essence what we're saying is I trust you, God. I trust you even though I don't exactly know what you're doing. I trust you. To humble yourselves is for you to acknowledge that you're not God, that he is and that you're not. For you to trust God means saying yes to him and believing him even when it doesn't make sense and it doesn't feel right. Guys, think about this. I think about the story of somebody who humbly worshiped God well. I think about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Here she was, minding her business, engaged to be married, and then an angel of the Lord announces to her that she is pregnant, though she is a virgin, and she's young. And she has a responsibility of how she's going to respond to that immaculate conception. I'm going to tell you that this probably pushed her to the very edge of trusting, but she trusted and she humbled herself to God's plan for her life, and she worshiped him well, even when she didn't have all the answers. Because I have a feeling right now, God is revealing to you some ways that he wants you to say yes to him. You've been thinking about this for a while, but you've never, ever really landed with, am I going to really, truly worship Christ and let him speak to me and allow him to change me? So I'm going to challenge us to do what the Magi did thousands of years ago. So if you'll trust me with this, I'd love to have you guys close your eyes, and I'd love to have you bow your heads, and I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Would you do that? Let's pray. So God, right now, what we do is we, like those Magi thousands of years ago, what we do is in our, maybe in our minds, maybe in our hearts, maybe with our lips, Jesus, we humble ourselves now before you, and we say yes to you. We acknowledge that you are God and we are not. We acknowledge, Jesus, that you lived a perfect life and we have not. And we say yes to your forgiveness that was made possible by your life on a cross. And we also say yes to trusting you. Enough to saying yes to the fact that when we come into contact with you, God, even though we don't understand it all, that we need to be willing to respond. Maybe responding means changing a relationship. Maybe it might even mean changing where you live. For some of you, saying yes might mean changing a habit or a lifestyle, or maybe even what you're consuming. Right now, some of you, God is in a very real way, he's speaking to your hearts. As you're bowing before him, as you're humbling yourself, you're hearing the voice of God. And maybe for some of you, you're feeling joy. Others of you, maybe your heart's racing. For some of you, you're experiencing a peace beyond understanding. There's not a cookie cutter way that we respond to God, but we do serve one God who revealed his one and only son to us. And we worship him now. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We've got a couple more points left in this message. I've asked Trevor to come out and sing a familiar song, and he's going to ask you to engage in the song in just a little bit. But hopefully, as he's leading us in this song, this text and these words are going to really begin to sear deeply into your soul and challenge you to make this Christmas season unlike any other one.
Frankincense to offer have I, incense knows a deity nigh, prayer and praising all men raising, worshiping God Most High. Would you Would you sing this chorus with me? Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Mine, its bitter perfume, and breathe the life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone cold tomb. Sing with me. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
Thank you, Trevor. Will you guys join me in thanking Trevor for that? Was awesome. Love having the Morgans a part of our faith family. What we're going to do now is we're going to unpack that song. We're going to take a look at the meaning behind those very intentional, symbolic, foretelling gifts that these Magi brought the Savior. So if you're taking notes, if you would write this down, that we would give gifts to the Son of God. Now, as we know the song, we've heard the song, We Three Kings of Orient Are. We don't know if they were kings or if there were three of them, but we do know that they were magi, and they gave three deeply symbolic, intentional gifts. And one of the things that I think that being that we just talked about worship, sometimes we falsely believe that worship is just what we receive from God, but it's also what we give back to God and what we give back to others. And that's how these Magi responded. They took action with their worship, and they presented, the scriptures tell us, in the second part of verse 11, they opened up these treasures, and they presented him with the gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. Now, I know for those of us that have been on the hunt for the perfect gifts this Christmas season, I know that myrrh and frankincense are in hard demand right now, right? I mean, it's on the top of all of your kids' gifts lists, right? Said no one ever. And gold bullion is expensive. But we do spend our gold on places like the Apple Store or Sharper Image or Williams-Sonoma and Crate and Barrel. And for those of you that are lazy like me, or on Amazon Prime. And so I did some last-minute shopping for some of you. I got some ideas. One that I found is just actually pretty fantastic is the idea of an LED toilet seat. Now, this is available on Amazon Prime and can be available to your doorsteps on Tuesday of this next week. It's true. And for those of you that have, maybe 3, 4, 5-year-old or 15-year-old boys in your house, sometimes they have a hard time finding the way to the promised land. And this will be like the star shining upon them in a variety of different colors. As you are kneeling before the throne, cleaning up after them, you will appreciate the fact that they will have the path to a better way lit for them this Christmas season. Now, another gift idea still available, just checked it between services, is for, well, if you're looking forward to heaven one day, we're all aware that heaven will smell like bacon. And so for the bacon lovers in your family, there are some bacon socks, okay? And literally, when you're on the couch being a potato, if you can read this, bring me some bacon. Yes, you can have these socks sent to you. It brings on a whole new idea of stocking stuffer right there, right? Too much bacon, watch out, you'll turn into a couch potato. All joking aside, there are many of us that suffer from what I like to call little drummer boy syndrome. If you've ever heard that song before, I have no gifts that are fit for a king. And I need you to know something, that just a couple of minutes ago, when we worshiped together and you prayed, you gave God the greatest gift you could ever give him, and that is your heart. Giving him your life. And that is what he, that is the biggest gift that we can give him this Christmas season. But also, we need to understand the gifts that these magi gave our Savior. The first gift that they gave, famously, is the gift of gold. And we know that a gift of gold was a gift that would have been fit for a king. We now know that Jesus was not only a king, but he was the King of Kings, and he was the Lord of Lords. What does that mean for us? It means that we give God our best, and we give him our best time, we give him our best talents, we give him our best treasure. And when we give back to God and others, we're worshiping. The second thing they give him was frankincense. Now, many of us don't know what frankincense is, but we know what cincy is, right? And so frankincense would have been something that they would have placed in the temple over a sacrifice, and it would have made the aroma of the sacrifice fill the temple with the glory of God. And it would be placed there by a priest. We know that this would have been a gift for a priest. And a priest, we now know as Christ, is that he was not only a priest, but he was the great high priest. And a priest in the Old Testament would have played a very important symbolic role between God and man. But we know that Christ on the cross played the most significant role by dying and bridging the gap of sin through his perfect life. So when we respond to him, as in with gold, we give him our best. But with frankincense, we can give him our worst. He takes our sin, and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And that is good news, right, church? And then also with myrrh, myrrh is a very practical gift. And it would have been the gift of, would have been an embalming gift, where they would have placed this when people died, to embalm their bodies. And so these wise men knew that the Christ child would be the Savior of the world. It's kind of an odd gift. But what it means for us, very really, is that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus said his own words, not mine, greater love has no one than this, than he'd be willing to lay down his life for a friend. And so when we consider it pure joy, when we die to ourselves, in essence, what we're doing is we're receiving and we're giving the gift of our life when we'd be willing to die for Christ, alive in him. See, these are the gifts that we can then infuse into our homes and our families this Christmas season. For the last decade, Amy and I, with our kids, have been, every Christmas, we've been giving them symbolically three gifts. We give them a gold gift, and that would be the gift of, I don't know, Paige likes American Girl dolls. My boys likes video games, and they know they got the gold gift. They love the gold gift. But they also know there's a frankincense gift, and we've just kind of viewed that as the family gift. You know, we're all part of the family of God, the church, and for us as the local family, our home, we give our kids a gift that we can enjoy as a family. Sometimes it's a family trip. Sometimes it's a family game that we can play together as a family. And then we give them a very practical gift, the myrrh gift. Sometimes it's socks, sometimes it's pajamas. But as we're giving them those gifts, we're retelling the Christmas story, and we're putting Christ back into Christmas, because that's the only reason why we give gifts. It's all about Jesus. Maybe that's a way that you can make Christmas come alive for your family in new ways this year. As I'm getting ready to wrap this up, I wanted to give you a final one, and probably the most important one, and that's going to be that we would not only listen to the voice of God, but that we would obey the voice of God. Scripture tells us in verse 12 that having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Guys, this is what I know is true, that when I come into contact with God, I have a choice. I can continue to do what I've always done, or I can move in a new direction. For some of you today, you in some very real ways have come into the presence of God. You've heard from him, you've experienced him, you've worshiped him, and now you have a choice. Are you going to go back where you came from, or are you going to take a new route when you leave here? Guys, I believe in the same way that joy is a choice, I believe that how we choose to worship is a choice. And I also know there is a connection between our obedience and God's hand of blessing in our life. I want you to trust me on this. If you will obey God's leading in your life, he will not lead you astray. You can trust the Lord with all of your heart. You don't have to lean on your understanding, but in all of your ways, you can trust him. You can acknowledge him, and he's going to make it all work out. I think about the story of Joseph and Mary, and how Joseph had his ideas of how he was going to deal with the situation. He was going to quietly divorce Mary when he found out that she was pregnant. But God appeared to him. He worshiped God, and God said, I need you to trust me on this. What is What has been conceived in her is not from man, but is from the Holy Spirit and from me. And she will give birth to Jesus, and he will save the world from their sins. And Joseph had a decision to make. Would he trust God or would he trust himself? And he made the right choice. And the rest is what we call holy history. As we wrap up, and as Trevor's going to lead us in a final song, I got a question for you. How are you going to respond? How will you choose to keep Christ in Christmas this year? How will you personally ensure that you're looking in the right direction, seeing the Savior? There's a lot of competing voices in our culture, and I'm not anti-culture, but I am saying the burden of responsibility lies on you at this point for your family. You have a choice of whether you'll invite somebody to be your guest at Christmas Eve services next week. You have a choice of whether or not you're going to sign up for Rooted. You have a choice of whether or not you're going to, with a childlike wonder, anticipate that this could be the best Christmas ever. You have a choice to choose joy. You have a choice to humble yourself before the Lord and trust that he will lift you up. You have a choice if you're going to remain receiving the gifts or giving the gifts. You have a choice of obedience or disobedience. Maybe obedience means giving your life to Christ today. Maybe it means rededicating your life today. Maybe it means being obedient through baptism and going public and saying, yes, I believe Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God. I'm not sure what decision you need to make, but I hope you'll make that decision right now. Would you go ahead and stand right now as we close in a final song? Our pastors, our directors are going to come forward. They'd love to pray with you. Let's pray, guys. So God, I pray right now that wherever we are, that we would say yes to you, that we would not allow pride to blind us, God, that we would not become paralyzed by fear. Holy Spirit, right now, I pray that you would give us the wisdom to discern your leading. Holy Spirit, that you'd give us the strength and the courage to respond. We want to take steps in your direction. We want to move in your direction. We want this Christmas to be the most meaningful for not only us, but our family and our friends and our community. God, I pray that the worship would continue, not only as we receive, but also as we freely give. God, thank you so much for the giving of your Son, Jesus Christ. We make much of him this Christmas. We pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit that makes it possible. Amen. Amen. I encourage you now to come forward, pray with our pastors, and have a Merry Christmas, everyone.